rip my money.
Yo, fancy seeing you here. Well, not fancy seeing Adam Scher here because he might be dead or something. I don't know where the guy is right now. But anyway, hopefully he's okay. I'm filling in on the Awesome-O Strategy Show NBA edition. Look, I'm not holding back. Why would I? This guy's putting me in a spot where I'm doing back-to-back shows now. Dave Lochran, along with Josh Engelman. The one silver lining is, hey, man, get to do a show together in the beginning of basketball season. I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, I guess we probably should have. The idea that Adam was not going to make it to a strategy show was probably pretty likely. So maybe you and I aren't the smartest two in the world. Yeah, I didn't think you and I were going to be doing anything like this until like January. So it's nice to get one into the books. I had a tweet about us going like 2 hours from a show 2 years ago. So that's always fun. I think it was actually like the opening day 2 years ago, or maybe it was 3 years ago, and we just talked about Melo for an hour.
It was. I distinctly remember that because it got so off track, and then people decided they'd like it.
Yeah. And well, the original Melo discussion happened on a non-NBA show. That was either baseball or football.
I don't even know what that was, actually.
It just wasn't basketball, that much I'm positive of.
No, it turned into 30 minutes of Carmelo Anthony discussion of whether he's good or not.
It did.
Or whether he was ever good.
Yeah.
But we got a 9-game slate today. Thank you, Josh, for typing up this wonderful run sheet for me.
Yep.
Yeah, appreciate that. Listen, we'll be back. The two of us, we'll be back on the strategy show doing something. You and Adam will still be doing a bunch. But once football season starts winding down, we'll be doing a little bit more and, you know, heavy basketball stuff. Honestly, I don't mind doing either. I enjoy doing shows with you, but generally speaking, when I've done more preparation, fortunately, Josh has done everything. He already had the process show this morning at 6:30 Eastern time. That's right. 6:30 Eastern time, bright and early. And now we break this down one more time, Josh. 9 games, kick it off with Boston and Charlotte. Today's show, of course, sponsored by the Yahoos. And but we'll get to that. We'll get to that because the promo is too good to pass up, and I don't want to just shortchange you now. But Boston and Charlotte Hornets, you got Boston on the road laying 1 point, second of a back-to-back right now. They were only favored by 5 points against Houston in Houston yesterday. Shocking to me, Josh. I hammered the Boston side of that. They ended up covering quite easily. What do you make of them against Charlotte? And is there any top options for you from Boston tonight?
It depends. We still don't know the status of Jaylen Brown. He's going to be questionable for tonight. I have him in for right now. It doesn't make me like, I'm not super interested in him. And if Jaylen Brown is in, that's just naturally going to make Jason Tatum look a little bit worse anyway. Same sort of situation for Romeo Langford, although his status is not all that interesting. If Romeo Langford doesn't play, you probably just give those minutes to Aaron Nesmith and call it a day. So I look at someone like Jason Tatum. He's projected for 16% ownership on DraftKings, 8% on FanDuel. I think that's about right. You know, somewhere in that 10 to 15% range on DK, I'm comfortable with. The guy that we need to point out the most, I think at least, $6,100 Robert Williams. He's $7,100 on FanDuel, but $1,000 cheaper on DK. You don't get the MPE, but this is a guy that's normally like a 1.25 fantasy point per minute guy. Hasn't been there quite yet. Coming off of, let's see, played 28 minutes yesterday. He played 28 minutes in their second game and then played, you know, 40-something in that monster double OT game on opening night. I have no problem getting there. I don't think 17% ownership is all that crazy. This is a high-level fantasy performer. He's going to, if Robert Williams continues to start for the Celtics, he's going to be significantly more expensive than 6,100. So you probably want to get in there now. There's not much else for me for Boston. I don't think that they're a particularly fun team to roster. Everybody that does play is sort of projected the way that they should be. The one thing that it came up on the process show, the only thing that I think we need to pay attention to for today is whether or not Al Horford plays. This is the second of a back-to-back. Al Horford is up there in years. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Al Horford sits the second half of a back-to-back, at which point I would say Grant Williams probably gets into the 26, 28 minute range, and he's 3,700 on DraftKings and will be a pretty high level value play as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's sustainable, but like this Al Horford production back with Boston, He's got 7 blocks and 10 stocks in his first 2 games, Josh. He's got like some legitimately good numbers. He's double-doubled, points, rebound, double-double in both games. He played coming off 30 minutes. Like, you're right. It's definitely worthwhile to pay attention to whether or not he plays, but we have to acknowledge that Horford has looked damn good in his first 2 games back with the C's.
Yeah, it's nice to see him still be himself to a degree. I mean, the defense has always been there. I think it probably clouds him a little bit how bad it was for Philly, because it was only really bad for Philly when they had the wrong, like, he was good in certain lineups when, yeah, you know, a certain Ben Simmons was not on the floor, or at least both of Simmons and Embiid weren't on the floor. It wasn't as bad as it seemed for Philly. Oklahoma City was a lost year. He's probably feeling pretty fresh at this point. You know, he's been on ice for like the last 18 months.
Yeah. He watched the second half of last season from the bench. So you're right. You made a point that Adam echoed on the strategy show, or I'm sorry, on the deeper dive the other day, that if you were to see Robert Williams continue to get big minutes every day, he could be legitimately, you know, like an 8K player. His last couple of games have been, you know, underwhelming to say the least, but he has played back-to-back 28 minutes in each of those. Like, are we expecting the production to catch up with the minutes in a good way?
Yeah, absolutely. So normal heading into this season, I had him at 1.25 FanDuel points per minute. So far this season, he's at 0.96. I don't think that anything has changed about the way that Robert Williams plays, other than maybe like his just general aggression to not pick up as many fouls. But otherwise, I expect Robert Williams to be like a 1.2 to 1.3 fantasy point per minute guy moving forward. If that continues and he's playing 28 minutes a game, 6,100 is a preposterous price.
Anything else for Boston?
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's talk about it on the other side of this one, the Charlotte Hornets. And by the way, hit that thumbs up, guys. Happy to have you with us. Josh, 200 in here already. Not bad for just kicking this off. Not bad.
No, not at all. I had 250 at 6:30 this morning. Well, 7 o'clock this morning.
It's solid. Man, I'll tell you what. You know, you hit us with almost 600 likes on the deeper dive to start yesterday. When I left, we had 1,500 likes, and then I tune in the live. Yeah, we have 50. We crushed, dude.
Damn.
But still, the concurrents keep rising. So 600 out of the gate on the first morning show is solid, right? And yeah, we pull another 1,000 almost. And then I see the Live Before Lock show 45 minutes into it, and we're still at 1,500. It's preposterous.
Well, I mean, you know why, right?
Why?
Because I didn't host it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Sorry, fellas that are now on Live Before Log without me.
I resorted to going in the chat and said, you will perish in a freak accident if we don't get likes up by 200 in the next 5 minutes.
Maybe that's what happened to Adam.
It worked, though. It worked like a charm. It's like one of those things where, remember, if you don't forward this email, you're dead.
Oh, God, the old... Back when, like, chain, like, you actually responded to those sometimes.
Right. It was right below the Nigerian prince requesting money email.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to me about the Hornets. And can we just go all in right now on Miles Bridges' top shot moments? This dude looks great recently, and he's got some nasty dunks that he throws down every so often.
Well, knowing Top Shot, I'm sure they'll just give us assists or layups or other nonsense.
No, they got a sick dunk on
that. I mean, everything that Bridges does is just him trying to yam on people as hard as he can. So,
remember, he basically had the dunk of the year last year.
Yeah, and I don't get the sense that that's going to slow down anymore. It's not like LaMelo's not looking to throw him lobs for 36 minutes a day. I don't really have a ton that I like here from Charlotte. It's a tough defensive matchup. You know, Boston's pretty good defensively, and I don't think that's going anywhere, especially if Horford is in the game. Only Gordon Hayward is in double digits in ownership on both FanDuel and DK, 18% on FanDuel, 13% on DK. We don't know the status of Terry Rozier right now. I have him in. He's probably the guy that I like the most out of Charlotte if he does play. But if he's in, if he's out, I don't have a lot of priorities here. I kind of agree with the ownership. The fact that no one's getting it outside of Hayward makes sense. Hayward is 6,900 across both sites. I actually ran a crunch before this show started for FanDuel. We have him at 18% ownership. I got 1.5. So he's actually a guy that I'm going to try to get away from. But again, this assumes that Rozier is in. I will likely have a little bit more Hayward because his stats will just go up if Rozier is off the floor.
Quick question and we'll move on. LaMelo Ball's minutes, have any of these been blowout related, or is he legitimately playing like high 20s right now?
I think that he's more likely to be playing something around the like 31, 32 range.
You would think.
But I don't think that he's set up to be playing like 34, 36. I don't think he's going all the way up to that tippy top right now for minutes.
Okay. Good on
this
game.
I believe one
then.
Of them was a little blowouty, but nothing too crazy.
All right. So Milwaukee and the Indiana Pacers. Screw that team, man. I'm serious. Do they play every day,
by the way?
It feels like it. Dude, they can't cover Washington. Ben and I were on that eight time. We all hit Indy on that game, and they lose in overtime. They blow a lead. And then I'm like, all right, dude, they're 4-point dogs against Miami. Back to backs. They're traveling back, or they're traveling, okay, back home. Their guys all played 42 to 46 minutes the night before. I'm like, Miami's a much better team than them. Even if PJ Tucker isn't exactly equipped to handle a 6'11 Sabonis, there's no way. There's no way. They go to overtime again. I'm like, all right, here we go. Because, of course, I laid the points on Miami this time. And they beat them by like 12 in overtime.
I watched a lot of that game, including overtime. I'm just tired. Look, I'm gonna end up having a lot of Indy. I'm going to have a lot of this game in general. It's not fun for me. I'm tired of getting Indy wrong. I did have enough of Miles Turner for his breakout. I had a bit more the next day for his lack of a breakout. I'm getting to Sabonis and Brogdon constantly, but I'm already sick of Indiana, and it's the 25th of October.
I hear you, man. So am I. Actually, I have a visceral reaction whenever I hear their name, but the Bucks are only 3-point favorites. And of course, you still have no DiVincenzo. Drew Holiday's questionable. Well, actually, I believe he's doubtful for this one.
Yeah.
Brooke Lopez has already been ruled out. Bobby Portis hasn't played yet this season. He's questionable. They do have a lot of injuries, but I mean, hell, 3-point spread here seems, you know, pretty significant just given that this game could actually stay competitive and has a 230 total.
So many injuries in this game that are on both sides. Like, neither one of these teams are even appropriate. Like, we're not even close to full strength. No TJ Warren for the Pacers. No Caris LeVert for the Pacers. I mean, this is a very different game. I want to add 1 minute because I want to make sure that I see Portis's salaries. So if Portis can play, I assume he's probably at least mildly limited. It was a lower body injury, 4,800 on FanDuel, 4,300 on DK. But if he can get to 20 minutes at 4,300, you're going to want to pay attention to Portis. I just don't know if he's playing or not. I'm leaving him out because we haven't seen him yet. This game is at 7 o'clock, so we're probably going to get the news on Portis beforehand. So I don't really care too much to like hypothesize if Portis is playing. Here's what I want to do for this one. I'm going to play a lot of Giannis on FanDuel at 11,200. I don't think that Indiana is well set up to deal with him. We have him at 25% ownership. I got 46 in my pre-show crunch. So taking a stand on Giannis. Middleton is 10 to 15% owned across FanDuel and DraftKings. I think that's about appropriate. We're seeing George Hill get to 13% ownership on DK, only 3,500, stepping into the starting point guard role with no Drew Holiday. I figure he plays somewhere in that 26 to 30 minute range. He's fine. He's just not a very good fantasy performer. Three quarters of a fantasy point per minute. The guy that I'm most interested in right now is probably Jordan Nwora on DK, if we're ignoring the fact that Giannis is on this team.
Yeah, he's Nwora a only- gunner. I love that kid.
He's projected for 6% ownership. He's 4,200. I gave him 24 minutes. I think there's upside for additional minutes. Like if Pat Connaughton or Grayson Allen aren't playing all that well, it's pretty easy to just swap in Nwora, or he's just out there anyway. 6% on Nwora at 4,200, given his propensity to take shots and the fact that he's a fantasy point per minute guy. Like Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, they're like George Hill, three quarters of a fantasy point per minute. Jordan Nwora is not that guy. So Nwora is the guy from the bench for the Bucks that I have my eye on.
You have to like what he's doing. I mean, I was talking about his Nigeria performance, Josh.
Yeah.
In the Olympics, the dude just, or I think it was Nigeria. Yeah. Dude just fires. And I'm okay with that off the bench. If you're not paying a lot, and granted, you've done a lot more research on the slate than I have. I shouldn't even be on this show, but some things are just pretty obvious, like 21% usage rate. And that is given the fact that his minutes have actually come up considerably from last year, and he actually has a big spot in this rotation. So, you know, I'm on board.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm going to any of the down the line guys, Thanasis, Justin Robinson, Mamu, the Georgios character. If Rodney Hood is able to actually get some minutes in this one, I don't think it's enough to care. Like, you're not going to go there.
So with us, with Drew Holiday not expected to play, does anyone, and you kind of covered this, but does anyone really benefit in a sense where they become a priority?
I mean, I don't think there's a situation where you can fully get away from George Hill on DK. Like 3,500 for the starting point guard for the Bucks is just on paper. You got to go there at least a little bit. And that's why he's getting some ownership, but it's not creating any like absolute locks. Obviously Giannis and Middleton are guys you play permanently no matter what. So I think we're talking about anybody else. I don't really see it outside of George Hill or Jordan Nwora if his ownership continues to be in like the 6% range. We have him at 1% on FanDuel at 4,500. I still like taking that shot too.
Why not? Yeah, he's been productive enough. Chris Duarte on the other side of this game, before we move on to Detroit and Atlanta, Des, he has the highest boom percentage in our boom bust tool today. Right above Robert Williams. Duarte, I know his price was extraordinarily low to kick off the season, and we've seen a little bit of correction there as the games have gone on. But at $5,400 on DraftKings, and we can talk about him on FanDuel as well, with the minutes he's playing and the minutes that all of these guys are getting, I mean, absurd minutes in the starting rotation for four or five starters every single game, does this just make sense to you?
I'm not as high on Chris Duarte at this point, in comparison. Do I think that he's a good play today? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's playing like 34, 36 minutes, depending on if these guys just stop going to overtime, I could analyze it a little bit better, but he's playing legitimate every single major starter rotation. To get to Chris Duarte is very easy. We got him at 28% ownership on FanDuel, 28 on DraftKings. I will likely be fading Chris Duarte. I have him in as a 0.83 fantasy point per minute guy. He's been at 0.78 so far through three games. So it's not like he's playing a little bit differently. For him to boom at, let's say, 5,400 on DraftKings, we're talking about 37 fantasy points. That's 5X plus 10. To me, that's a lot for Chris Duarte. We can't assume that these guys are going to go to overtime every single game. And if he's a 0.8 guy, I think this is the type of guy you probably want to try to get away from and find another guy with the same sort, like a little bit more ceiling at lesser ownership. The rest of the team is a problem, though. Like, I want to get to Miles Turner at 5,700 or 5,500. There's so much upside defensively for him. He doesn't have to worry about Brooke Lopez as another body. So I think that's probably going to work if Grayson Allen or Pat Connaughton or these guys are trying to get to the rack. I think that's good for Turner. Sabonis, always in play. Malcolm Brogdon, 9.9% owned on FanDuel, 8,300. One of my favorite plays today, a guy that I'm getting over the field on. Jeremy Lamb has been a great value at 3,500. You get him at guard forward eligibility on DK too. I like everything really for the main guys for Indiana. Sabonis, Brogdon, Turner. I'm going to include Jeremy Lamb on DraftKings as a value play. I don't totally believe in Chris Duarte though.
Okay. Jesus, a lot of foul trouble for Turner last game, huh?
Yeah, coming out for that monster game, the game before that.
16 minutes. I'll go back to him if he's going to get quality run, but it doesn't bother me at all. Quite frankly, if he's the same price as Duarte and you're looking to get exposure to the Pacers, it does make sense to go with the guy that plays closer to the basket and doesn't rely solely on scoring. So, yeah, for sure. I like that. Let's talk about Detroit and Atlanta then, Josh. The Pistons in Atlanta are 10.5-point dogs, 213 total. Very low total here. Generally happens when you're dealing with this Pistons squad. But at the same time, once in a while, we can find something decent to talk about. Maybe that's not the case today, but guys like Frank Jackson and Jeremy Grant are both projected for some ownership. We have nothing else below them.
Yeah, no. On FanDuel, I got 8% Isaiah Stewart at 5,100 power forward eligibility. For some strange reason, Isaiah Stewart, the starting center for the Pistons, does not have that eligibility at center for FanDuel, which seems pretty crazy. It's even crazier when that's the same situation for Miles Turner on FanDuel, only power forward.
Why?
No, I don't. He's unquestionably only a center.
Is Sabonis power forward center on FanDuel?
Yep. Anyway, I don't know what they're thinking there, but it's not really all that important. On the FanDuel side, if you don't get any Pistons, you won't be all that mad about it. On DK, Jeremy Grant at 6,300 is just underpriced for what he does. He's a fantasy point per minute guy, maybe a little bit more when Cade Cunningham's not going to be on the floor. I think he's properly owned at 12%. And then Frank Jackson is the one pulling ownership, 3,500. I think he's pulling that ownership basically just because of his price. He's a 0.75 guy, so nothing I want to write home about. Do you know what Frank Jackson's averaging on as a fantasy score so far per minute?
On the season, you're saying per minute production?
Yeah.
It's not good. What is it? 0.35?
0.29.
Really?
On FanDuel, at least. I mean, it's obviously going to be close on DK, too. God. Yeah. Clearly, yeah, don't think that's brutal. Moving forward like that, but I understand why he's getting some ownership. You're going to find multiple guys at 35. Like, just go to George Hill, too, you know?
Yeah. It's not even just poor shooting. I'm looking up some of this now. He's had essentially no opportunities as a passer either. So, and when you do, you're relying on the Detroit Pistons to put the ball in the cylinder. So essentially for you, Detroit is a wash, or is it maybe some Jeremy Grant and not really getting towards any Jackson?
Yeah, Jeremy Grant is an actual good play, no matter what, for the Pistons at 6,300. He's just got a ceiling if the shot's falling. Everybody else on the Pistons, I think you should probably avoid.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have much trouble convincing people of that.
No, what it's about a nine-game slate. There's plenty of other plays.
Exactly. What about on Atlanta?
I like them. They're not priced in the best way. We still have Gallo questionable. Clearly Trey Young to me looks good. He's 9,300 across both sites. We only have him at 6% ownership on FanDuel. I got 17 in my crunch. I want to get to Trey Young when he's 6% owned against the Pistons. I don't know who the hell is going to stop him. That seems like a really nice spot for Trey Young. I can get to John Collins. I don't know what word I was trying to say there.
Yeah, what were you going? Were you going Facundo Campazzo and John Collins?
I have no concept of what I was about to say there.
It's actually impressive because
I'm a long morning.
I can't even tell what you were trying to get to. Usually it's like, you know, a name you just said, but maybe we'll figure it out later. Go ahead.
Collins is a guy that I'm like 2X on FanDuel, but the highest ownership percentage we have on FanDuel or DraftKings for the Hawks is 9.7% owned DeAndre Hunter. I think you should probably have about 10% DeAndre Hunter, but that's kind of it for me. I don't want to say that I'm looking at a potential blowout here, but I think Atlanta can have very little issue handling Detroit. I'd rather look at Trae Young and very little else. And the prices of some of the bench guys are up high enough that I don't really trust them for a value option.
So it was definitely, I think, Capella and Collins mixed into one.
Maybe.
Makes sense, right?
Maybe. I mean, they're like Collins is on top of Capella in my sheet.
Wow, that sounds dirty.
you want to go there? You can.
Anything else for Atlanta?
No, it doesn't. Young Collins Capella. That's it for me.
Okay, Norman Powell's out for this. Yeah. Just looking over some of these things coming in. All right, then let's talk about Washington and Brooklyn. Before we do, first of all, hit that thumbs up. I think we're almost at 100 thumbs up. We're four away from 100, so almost 400 people watching concurrent right now. Hit that thumbs up. Show us some love. And if you haven't subscribed yet, it's cool. You don't have to. Right? This free content's going to be here, whether you subscribe or not. We're not going anywhere. I can promise you of that. But if you want to help support us and, you know, help combat the YouTube overlords and the algorithm, hit that subscribe button. You'll always know when we're going live. It helps us and it helps you. We'll show up on your homepage. So just everything will be there for your liking, catered straight to you. So hit that subscribe, thumbs up. Help us get to 70,000 subs. We appreciate you. And if you want to join the channel, get the custom emojis, those killer badges, shout outs, and priority questions answered all the time. Hit that too. Again, you want to do it? Cool. You don't want to? That's fine. But we'll always welcome you to the team and shout you out. And we'd be happy to have you here for sure. But Yahoo, Daily Fantasy Sports. Josh, you're not going to get a deal as good as this. And I don't say that like to exaggerate or be hyperbolic. You're just not going to find a deal where you get $90 value for free by signing up at a site.
No, it's a great spot right now. If you've never signed up at Yahoo, there's no reason to not go try it out, make that deposit, get all of the benefits you get from our current deal. You know, you get to see what's going on behind the paywall at Osmo too. Best of both worlds. And some of the contests that Yahoo's running right now, some of the best in the industry. No, very little management fee, no management fee, potentially overlay. It's a good spot.
For sure. Yeah. And some big contests too. Like they're still running a $1 million baller every Sunday and all of that. Yeah. I mean, look, the best part is use the link in the description, first of all, or Jordan will throw it in chat. Jordan, you toss that in chat for me. Thanks. If you haven't signed up yet over at Yahoo, use the link, sign up, deposit $10 or more. That's it. $10 or more. They'll send your information to us. We'll hit you up through email and get you set up. $90 value. That's every tool that we have on the site, all created by Awesomeo himself, number one ranked DFS player, boom, bust, top stack, ownership, lineup builder. Of course, you have the Fantasy Cruncher add-on that is a phenomenal tool. You name it. And of course, premium Discord with office hours where you've got pros helping you, answering your questions to fine tune your game. You get everything for the month, $90 value. And when you sign up at Yahoo using the link, they'll give you $10 in free credit to play anyway. So you're really getting all of this for free. No reason not to do so if you haven't done so yet. Use the link in the chat or in the description. If you're already at Yahoo, by the way, and you want to get, as Josh said, a peek behind the paywall at Awesomeo, we do have an awesome promo going on right now. It's Curry, C-U-R-R-Y, all caps, get you 50% off the full week at Awesomeo Plus Platinum. Everything on the site, football, basketball, hockey, MMA, PGA, NASCAR, you name it. Use the promo code Curry at awesomeo.com/promos. All right, let's keep rolling here, Josh. We have got Washington and Brooklyn. What do you make of the Wizards this season? Quick question, like, where are you at on the Wizards this year in terms of overall skill set?
I mean, I think they're better than they were last year. I'm a fan of the pieces that they have. I don't really know what it ends up being. I feel like they're uniquely set up to like really get a bunch of assets at the deadline if they want to. Like if you want to flip KCP to a contender, I think that you can get a lot of value for him in the middle of the season. I think you could probably do something similar for Kyle Kuzma. These aren't guys that I would want to try to build around. If you can get anybody to take Bertans' contract, I know you're a bit overpaid right now. They have a lot of what I would deem to be like assets that can be good for teams that are going to go deeper into the playoffs that I don't think necessarily matter all that much for Washington. I mean, most of these guys should just still be on the Lakers along with Buddy Hield, but instead the Lakers were dumb and went after Russ. So helpful for Washington. I think they're just like a deep, they got a lot of, they're a deep team with a lot of different pieces that I think fit together pretty well. I like Washington a lot.
All right. Jeremy Grant's questionable now, by the way. That news just broke. It looks like Bradley Beal is on track to play, Josh. So yeah. I'm assuming you have him in right now.
I do indeed.
All right. With that in mind, where are we going with Washington against Brooklyn? Right now, the spread on this game, you got Washington 8.5-point dogs, 233.5-point total. Nets have looked like shit early on, though. Wouldn't be surprised if this game stayed relatively close.
Yeah, I like a lot of this, but it's more on the FanDuel side. Beal is getting ownership. Sure. Like if you want to do that in the nines, that's fine. I'd rather get to Trae Young given his low ownership, but Kyle Kuzma's 6K on FanDuel. He's playing monster minutes. He's getting a lot of rebounding work, 1.06 fantasy points per minute so far this season. I've got him in this game for one fantasy point per minute. So 34 fantasy points in 30 minutes or 34 minutes. I mean, we have him at 11% ownership against a Brooklyn team that doesn't play defense. I want to have a lot of – he's one of my favorite plays. I got 33% on my crunch. We have him projected for 11% ownership. Wow. I feel the same way for Dinwiddie. I got him at 1.1 for this game. He's been at 1.27 so far this season. Obviously, some of that time without Bradley Beal, but he's at 8% ownership. He's 6,500. Revenge narrative, if you guys want to talk about him going up against Brooklyn. I don't care about it, but, you know, there's another point for him. He's another guy that I want to be like 3X the field on. The guy that's actually getting the ownership right now is Montrezl Harrell. 12% across both sites. Just cross your fingers and hope he gets into foul trouble and play Daniel Gafford instead. They're both basically the exact same cost. Harrell's played more minutes. I don't think it's a guarantee that that always happens. And I don't think Harrell being out there for Brooklyn against Brooklyn is great because they're going to put him in a pick and roll and roast him.
Yeah. Is he one of your highest owned players?
Harrell?
No, I'm sorry. Who are you saying you love today?
Kuzma and Dinwiddie on FanDuel.
Okay. Sorry. Jordan sent me. I'll tell you.
You're good. Kuzma and Dinwiddie right now are fourth and fifth in my exposure behind Cole Anthony, Giannis, and Jovel.
Even with Beal playing?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So
they're too, okay, they're too cheap. They're just too cheap.
And this comes just, I mean, as a direct result too of like outside of Beal, they don't have much. But also, as you mentioned, Brooklyn's defense just stinks. They don't even try.
Yeah, no, they just don't have. They're not built that way.
with Harden and KD on the other side of this one, their prices are beginning to separate quite a bit, Josh. Yeah. And obviously, a lot of that comes with the disparity in production. But you know, at what point do we start saying like, all right, well, you know, Harden's production will find the, you know, homeostasis. It will balance out at some point. But the thing is, he's actually not getting any cheaper. It's just Kevin Durant's getting more expensive.
Tricky spot here. So Harden's at 1.2 fantasy points per minute so far this season. Durant's at 1.7. I think Durant's is probably a little too high. I think Harden's probably a little too low. They come closer to each other. So on FanDuel, these guys are expensive. 10K for Harden, 11K for Durant. 29% of people are going to Harden on FanDuel. 4 are going to Durant. I want to have like 15 to 20% Durant in that scenario. I'll still get to Harden, but I would rather be a little bit lighter on Harden just over on Durant and cross my fingers. Same situation sort of on DraftKings, but it's basically the same scenario, only these guys are way too cheap. 9,500 for Harden, 27% ownership. I'm getting him in like the 20s. That's fine. But 10-2 for Durant. He's projected for 5% ownership. Just give me more Kevin Durant if he's going to be in single digit ownership. This is the perfect opportunity to get like a Durant Trey Young line with some chalk around it. Is going to be a great GPP lineup to me. The biggest question we have for this game now is, does LaMarcus Aldridge sit? We saw Blake sit on the front end of the back-to-back. They're going to rotate sitting Millsap and Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge because they have no reason to just play these guys every day. It's what I expected to happen night one, and then they didn't do it. I'm going to assume that LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't play. I think that allows Paul Millsap to get into the rotation a little bit more. He could be a viable value option on DraftKings at 3,300. But if we do get someone to sit, if you saw what happened yesterday for Brooklyn, we didn't have Blake Griffin. We saw Bruce Brown finally enter the rotation, play 27 minutes. I think Bruce Brown's going to be that guy that steps in every time one of these guys are out. If Aldridge is out, I'm giving Bruce Brown 22 minutes at 3,500. That's a nice value play on DraftKings. We basically have him unowned on FanDuel at 3,500 as well. Another value option to me as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
So this game in general is just going to be a game you want to have a lot of.
And also paying attention to some of these pieces of injury news, of course, on the Brooklyn side and Bradley Beal, but we expect him to play because that can change a ton. I mean, like if Bradley Beal isn't able to play, are you willing to pay 7K for Dinwiddie on DraftKings?
Yeah, I'm willing to pay it right now if he's only 1% owned.
Sure. Okay. I just figured on FanDuel is where you like those prices a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't mind going to Dinwiddie at all on DraftKings. If Beal is in, so I don't mind it at all if he's out.
Orlando and Miami. Orlando 14-point dogs here. They hurt me on a parlay yesterday because Cole Anthony had a monster game, dude. Monster game. What was it? 29, 16, and 8 or something stupid? Yeah, close. I think. What's up?
Yeah. It was a big one.
Yeah, I'm going off the top of my head, but
I got it here. 29, 16, and 8. Yeah.
Oh, I nailed it. Okay.
62.2 cool. FanDuel points.
Wow. He crushed. But that second of a back-to-back, there's still two touchdown dogs. They're 14-point dogs against Miami, 214.5 total. Is there any interest in getting to anyone from the Magic today?
A lot of interest, and that's what sucks because this team sucks.
Yeah.
4,900 for Cole Anthony today on FanDuel, coming off a 62 burger. He's 38% owned. That's exactly what I have. I totally agree with it. To me, he's really good chalk. They don't have many alternatives other than Cole Anthony, so I'm going that way. Franz Wagner, 2,500 or 25% owned on FanDuel, 15 on DraftKings. He's in the fours from a salary perspective. Another guy just playing really big minutes, 32, 34, and 39 over the past three games. I like getting there, although he's not a very good fantasy performer, 0.7 fantasy points per minute so far this season. This is the most interesting piece for me. We've got Mo Bamba at 8% ownership on FanDuel. We've got him at 11 on DraftKings. I think that's all fine. I'm not entirely sure why no one's going to Wendell Carter Jr. 5,700 on FanDuel, 5,800 on DraftKings. No ownership here. If Wendell Carter Jr. is 5,700 on FanDuel and 1% owned, I have 25% right now.
Wow.
What happened? Like, he played 31 minutes the last game, 30 the game before that, even played 19 the first day, which wasn't the best thing you were looking for, but I don't think Iggy Brazdeikis is going to be getting 19 every time. What happened? Like, I got him in for 30. If Mo Bamba gets in foul trouble, he's definitely playing 30. Why is he not owned? He's a 1.05 fantasy point per minute guy normally. He's been good this season, 1.22 so far this season. Even if you just assume he's at a 1.06 rate, which is where I have him today, I want to have a lot of Wendell Carter if he's unowned.
Dude, he's averaging 0.7 rebounds under a double-double. He's averaging 11.6 and 9.3. And yeah, he only played 19 minutes in the first game. So I see what you're saying there. I mean, listen, when it comes to this team last year, we got a lot of Orlando, whether we liked to or not. Bad teams generally have low-priced players. And if that's the case, sometimes you're going to get to them. Is Cole Anthony a stay away today?
No. I think you have to play him on FanDuel. Very, very good chalk. Probably a cash game lock. I don't see how you get away from him at 4,900 because the floor is just so high here. He would have to get hurt to not play, you know, 28-plus minutes. What sort of performance would you – like, for him to kill you at 4,900, he basically has to bagel.
And he has a 25% usage rate to start the year as well. So, yeah.
5X plus 10 on Cole Anthony is 34.5 fantasy points. I got him at 31.6 just for the game.
Where do you go to when it comes to the Miami Heat today? Just huge home favorites.
It depends here. We got to wait on the news of Kyle Lowry. I don't know why you would play him in this spot. You're a 14-point favorite, and it's not going to make much of a difference whether you have Kyle Lowry in or out. So I have him in right now. It makes me like less interested in Butler or Bam. When Lowry inevitably gets ruled out, which is what I expect, I think Bam and Butler will be properly owned, and then you'll want to go to Tyler Hero, 6,200 on FanDuel, 6,400 on DraftKings, 1.2 fantasy points per minute so far this year. I think he's probably more like a 1 fantasy point per minute guy. He's going to get 30-something minutes with Lowry out. Hero would be the first guy. That's probably it. It's the Heat. It's not a team you normally want to get to. 214 total. This one's going to be slow. It's going to be a bit of a slog. It's not a great DFS matchup. And if Lowry happens to be in, I probably am not all that interested in Miami because I just don't know how Orlando keeps up.
So quick recap here, just so we can come full circle. If Kyle Lowry is out, who benefits the most?
Tyler Hero.
Okay. And that's it for Miami?
Butler and Bam are always in play as your typical 8K guys that are just good and always play and do whatever they want.
We got free tools on the site today. NFL Showdown Top Plays tool is awesome. It's one of the best tools you're going to find, particularly for showdown slates. Our player projections for NBA, also free, and NHL player rankings. You don't need to be a member. You don't need to be premium or anything like that. You want to check out some free tools. You're not ready to use the Curry promo code. Well, they're available over there under the NFL and the NBA or the NHL dropdown. All right, Josh, Chicago and Toronto. Are you buying into the Bulls? Because the way I see them is they're going to be fun. I think they're going to be – I haven't heard your take on this. I'm just telling you where I'm at. I think they're going to be fun. I think they're going to be okay. And then I think they're going to be unceremoniously swept in the postseason.
I talked about them earlier today on the Process Show, which is actually kind of funny. I thought that it was an interesting offseason. I think people – didn't look at their offseason and give the correct analysis on what their team is this year. I thought they had a terrible offseason. I don't like the transactions that they made outside of signing Lonzo. I thought the DeMar contract was one of the worst things that happened this offseason. I think they gave up too many assets. I think they're in a bad way for the future in terms of draft picks being out. However, DeMar makes the team better right now, unquestionably. Lonzo makes the team better now, unquestionably. I think they can be a top five offense if things break correctly. They don't have a lot of injuries, but it's a bad defense. And yep, I think that limits them to be like at best the Knicks last year, but reverse, good on offense, bad on defense, sneak into like a four seed. But I also think they're just as live to be in the play and not even make the actual playoffs.
So we're on the same page really is what you're saying. Like they'll be fun. I think they'll make the playoffs. I do. Just seeing what it's the Eastern Conference isn't all that great. I know we got to keep going here, but I just was curious where you stood on them. They don't have enough defense. Vooch anchoring that front court is not going to work. So
they will be really bad in the playoffs when they can start hunting DeMar and hunting Vooch in pick and rolls. During the regular season, when you don't have that same sort of setup for the way that you're just picking on individual players, they're going to look really good just in general, especially in situations like this. But when this gets to the playoffs, it's going to be real. Like if they play somebody like the Nets, if they were like the seventh seed and the Nets were the two, Brooklyn is going to beat them by 30 pretty regularly because they're not going to be able to stop them.
I would think so as well. How are you going to stop Giannis in the paint?
Not going to happen. He's going to get to the rim over and over and over again. Pat Williams isn't ready for that.
And Embiid's going to do the same, honestly. Embiid's just
they're not set up for this.
Do you like them today though? Any individual spots here?
Lonzo's the only guy pulling any ownership. The highest anyone is 9.8% for DeRozan, except for Lonzo on FanDuel at 6,200. I think he's a little overowned. I got 12%. That's the most that I have here. I'm not all that interested in too much from Chicago. Like if you get LaVine or DeRozan or Vooch, they're talented offensive players. There's no reason that these guys can't have ceiling games today. I just don't think it happens all that frequently. It's a 212 total, which I believe is the lowest on the entire slate. Hard to do in a Chicago matchup, honestly, because this team's so good offensively, but it's going to be slow. Toronto's going to lean a little bit more defensively. I just have a hard time wanting to get to a lot of Chicago.
On the other side, then, what about Toronto at home here? Should be a close game, you would think, at least. Maybe not.
It should be.
3-point spread.
Yeah, three point. In Toronto, too. I have a lot that I like here, actually. Precious Achiuwa, 4,600 and 4,500 across both sites. I think he's underrepresented, has the capacity to play bigger minutes if it breaks well. We've got Scotty Barnes, 29% owned on FanDuel. I think that's probably a little high, but there's certainly some value there. I think you can find it elsewhere. We've got Van Vliet, basically 15% owned across both sites. Seems about reasonable to me, 7,900, 7,600. Ananobi is getting up a ton of shots so far this season. He's 15% owned on DraftKings. I think the starting five, Van Vliet, Ananobi, Barnes, Gary Trent, and Achiuwa are all like 10%ers today. Just pay close attention to the ownership. I think you could be lighter on Barnes where he's heavy on FanDuel. I think you could be heavier on Achiuwa where he's lighter on FanDuel. Nobody that just immediately stands out as dramatically underpriced or undervalued, but those five guys are just going to get a lot of playing time because that's what happens for the Raptors. They play their front five heavy minutes. Like Goran Dragic is playing like 16 minutes a game.
Yeah, but that's, like you said, though, that's kind of what you expect to see from these rotations every single year, assuming that not everybody is out, right? So
right.
I don't know. Nick, do we assume Nick Nurse is going to do anything different than what he's done in the past just because his player personnel is a little bit different? Probably not.
No, I don't. I think he's just going to keep going in typical Nick Nurse fashion.
All right. So top options from Toronto.
On FanDuel, I think Precious Achiuwa is the most underrepresented. You're clearly getting to Scotty Barnes. You're clearly getting to Fred Van Vliet. On DK, same thing. Achiuwa, Van Vliet. And I think Gary Trent, shooting guard, small forward, eligible 4,600. If the shot's falling, he can have a pretty big day.
Dude with a name I can't pronounce said, it's going to be funny to hear y'all when the Bulls are 20-5. That's fine. They might be. I'm just saying they're not.
Yeah, I'll feel the same exact way if they're 20.
Nothing
and
five. Will change. Except I might bet against them for playoff futures and stuff.
Yeah,
like
if I could short them, then I would.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Will they make it through the first round? No. I don't know. If we're wrong, we're wrong. And I'll say it. I won't need to say it. It's right here, fella. New Orleans Pelicans.
Care.
Minnesota. I know you talk. Minnesota Timberwolves. Pelicans 5.5-point dogs, still no Zion, 226 total here. And do we just have to look to an Ingram today or a Towns? Is this a spot where we could see this game turn into a track meet?
There's a lot you got to do here. It all starts with $6,600 Jovel on FanDuel, who I'm going to have about 80% of. Similar story to what I had a couple days ago. He's going to dominate the boards. He's going to dominate this matchup.
How is he that cheap?
He's $1,300 cheaper on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings. And I still kind of like him on DK at 7,900, given this matchup. It's fast. It's up tempo. I'm going to have all of the Jovel. It's just going to happen. I really like Nikhil Alexander-Walker for 6,100 on FanDuel. Happy to get him for 6,700 on DK. Clearly, Brandon Ingram with no Zion is in play across both sites, 8,200 and 8,300. Devontae Graham, 5,400 on DraftKings. I think that's a really nice value option. We're already projecting him for 22% ownership. Those four guys across both sites, you got to have a lot of, but nobody looks better today on either site than Joe Val on FanDuel.
I like it. Yeah, he's averaging 22 rebound chances per game, so when you're getting that type of production or opportunity from someone like Joe Val, who you and I for years have been crying for him to actually get consistent minutes every single game, maybe we're finally going to start seeing that. And if we do, I'm all in. You're right. That price point is just stupid. And his usage rate, 20% usage as well.
Minnesota is dead last in defensive rebound rate this season, by the way.
Yeah, he could have 20 rebounds today.
Yeah. I mean, and he's a really good offensive rebounder, or at least I think that he is in my head. And he's great at putting them back. We're talking about the worst defensive rebounding team in the league, and Joe Val getting, I don't know, 4-5 offensive rebounds and guaranteed putbacks, basically. Sign exactly. me up, man.
He's got a career 12% offensive rebound rate. We'll take that for sure. It's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to, like, I knew that I was just going off the top of my head, but I was pretty confident.
Right.
It was like a high-level offensive rebounder.
The Pelicans suck, though, too, Josh.
Like, yes.
Is this a spot where we just like both sides of this game?
Yes, it is. It really is. We've got Towns at 2% ownership on FanDuel, 10-9. That I understand, even though he's been at 1.6 for the season so far. 9% owned on DraftKings at 9,700. I think that looks good, but Anthony Edwards, probably a little underpriced, 7,500. You get the guard forward eligibility on DK. That looks good to me. Russell hasn't played big minutes. I think that's going to happen at some point in time where he gets to, you know, 31, 32, even upwards of that. So 8% owned for Russell. I like the ceiling there. $3,500 for Jaden McDaniels. Given his stat profile, I think that's a little interesting. He's a guy that projects in, if he gets like 28 minutes, he's a guy that projects for a couple stocks. And I like using someone like him in a GPP if he's going to be a little under-owned. Turns out he's not under-owned today. The most owned Minnesota Timberwolf. So I don't mind trying to dodge McDaniel's ownership because he's kind of scary and he's not the type of guy that has like a high floor. If the ownership's already there, I'd rather be somewhere else.
Top options from this game, Josh, being that it's kind of exciting, this one.
Probably Anthony Edwards on the Minnesota side as my favorite option. I touched on Joe Val here. I like the Pelican side more than I like the Wolves.
Okay. Cleveland and Denver. So Darius Garland, we're still waiting on his status here. I don't know how much it really matters at this point, right? They're double-digit road dogs. In the altitude, Josh, out there in the Pepsi Center against the Denver Nuggets. Colin Sexton, however, I do want to get your take on Cleveland, even though they're not exactly exciting. The guy, once again, is, you know, flirting with 30% usage. It's just a matter of whether or not Colin Sexton is someone that can ever get you the peripherals that you're looking for. And thus far this season, he's the same Colin Sexton that we knew of from all of his previous seasons.
Yep. I don't really have much interest in him if Garland is in or if Garland is out. I really want to know what Ricky Rubio's ownership is going to be if Garland is out. I think he looks okay at 6K. He's at 1.22 fantasy points per minute so far this season. That's not going to continue. He's more like a one guy. Mobley, 6,400 on FanDuel is at least a little interesting. He's been as advertised so far, but again, 10.5-point dogs against Denver. There's not a lot I want to get to for Cleveland. Cleveland's one of the worst offenses in basketball. I don't want more of Cleveland.
Okay. Fair. Yeah. And so if Rubio's ownership remains low, though, I just want to drill down on this, and Garland sits, will you have, you know, some trace amounts of Rubio in your lineups? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I figure probably something in like the 10% range. He'd probably be my highest owned Cav on FanDuel.
Okay. What about Denver? Nikola Jokic every game he plays coming in as one of, if not the most expensive, but also productive players. I mean, on DraftKings, he's the highest priced player, $600 more expensive than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You know, he's Jokic, 1.7 fantasy points per minute. He's actually catching Giannis now. So I have Giannis at 1.58, just raw, like in my model, this is what he is. Jokic is only 2/100ths of a point behind him at this point.
That's crazy.
He's gaining on him now.
You think he'll pass him by the end of the year?
No, Giannis, he just does a little bit the defensive stats are going to save him, I think, allows him to just be in a little bit better of a spot, just getting more stocks. The best piece of this game, however, is Michael Porter Jr. on DraftKings. He's 6K. He's projected for 32% ownership. I think that's good chalk. I don't know why he's $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings than he is on FanDuel, but I really, really like that DK price. That guy can fill up the bucket, man. That guy is just going to score, and I don't know who on Cleveland is going to stop him. It's not Kevin Love, that much I know.
Yeah, it certainly isn't. Just throwing this out there, Jokic is averaging 109 touches per game through his first two games as a center, leads the league by a lot. Just very simply, he's always going to have the ball in his hands, and that's what makes it to the point where you said he's catching up to somebody as good as Giannis. Is that everything for Denver for you?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I don't have anything to add on Jokic. If you guys want to get to Aaron Gordon or Monty Morris, I think they're properly owned at like 10-ish percent.
All right, so what about this last game here? We're going to make it, Josh. We're doing okay. Soon enough, we'll be able to do these shows without any time restrictions, any limitations, anything like that, and it'll be beautiful again. But
we'll be on Milwaukee, Indiana right now.
Hit that thumbs up if you haven't done so yet. At least get us to 200. We got over 600 concurrent right now, Josh. So
yes, we do.
Not bad. Hit that thumbs up. Appreciate you. And thanks, Randall. You do this long enough, you just, you know, things happen. Plus, Josh shouldering the bulk of the load.
Big news here. I see the little green icon on Adam in Slack.
Oh, yeah? That's good. Yeah. Good.
So
good.
Either the cops moved his mouse or he did.
Yeah, searching for they got the black light in his apartment under the
looking for evidence.
Yeah, well, you know what black lights are looking for.
Yeah, I hope they don't have one of those in my office.
Yeah, God, that'd be brutal. All right, Portland and the LA Clippers to close this one out. And of course, shout your boy Jordan Klein out, marathon producing today out there on the West Coast. Portland, we've got no Norman Powell. So how does that affect us mainly, Josh?
Doesn't seem to matter at all, best than what I can see. I don't think CJ McCollum continues to score 1.5 fantasy points per minute. Gonna guess that rate comes down a tad. No one's owned more than 7% on FanDuel. I didn't get anybody more than 5%. So I'm not interested in Portland at all across the board on FanDuel. Nas Little is the guy that took Norm Powell's spot in the second half after Powell got hurt in the second quarter. He's 3,800. I gave him 28 minutes. He is a fine value option, 7% owned already. Highest owned guy on Portland on the DK side is 12% owned Dame. I think that's all just sort of proper. Dame, CJ, Covington, Nurkic, Little, Simons, all owned between 7 and 12%. And I don't really have anything to add there. I don't find Portland to be all that interesting. It's a great total. I just don't like the prices on anything here for the Blazers.
Yeah, I bet the under on Norman Powell points last game at 18 and a half.
Nice.
No, he had 16 points in 12 minutes and then got hurt.
Nice. You won.
But I'm saying the dude was on pace for like 50. And somehow you get there. Once in a while, things just work out, you know? And it did.
Yeah. Were you in Portland throwing shit out onto the floor or something?
Right, at his expense. The same stuff that they're searching for. Never mind. All right. Close us out, Josh, with the LA Clippers. It's time to talk about Paul George, whose price continues to rise. But I'll be honest with you, man. When I saw on opening night that his ownership was so low, I understood it. But this was actually a spot that I looked to get to a lot because he's phenomenal without Kawhi Leonard, and he's going to have some monster games. Look at what he's doing through the first couple of games. Monster volume, huge three-point volume. His rebounding, and we saw in the postseason last year without Kawhi Leonard, shot up. So is he too expensive here, or would like a potentially low-owned Paul George actually make sense?
He's not for me. 1.6 FanDuel points per minute so far this season. I got him moving forward at like 1.3. 7% owned on FanDuel, 5.5 on DraftKings. I think that's appropriate. The biggest thing we want to do here is probably 30% owned Reggie Jackson on FanDuel at 5,600. I think it's decent chalk. I'm probably going to end up being a little bit lighter, but I think he's very clearly the best thing that you can get to in this game. He played 39 minutes in the opener. He played 36 minutes in game two. I don't want to really do anything different here with Reggie Jackson other than be a little bit lighter than the field. 30% is just too much. I probably like him a little bit more on DraftKings where he's not getting the ownership. We've got Luke Kennard at 17% owned at 3,300. I don't really see it. I don't think there's a ton of upside there. I think you could find better value elsewhere. The big total on this game is the piece that's standing out to me. I'm not getting to enough Portland. I'm not getting to enough Clippers, but it feels like a 232 total I should be a little bit more interested in. So this is a game that I'm going to dig into more as the day goes on to see if anybody else pops up. But I think it's easier to get away from Reggie Jackson, to get away from Luke Kennard, and to really just not have all that much of this game. Terrence Mann for 4,400 on DraftKings, I think, is a little bit more interesting to me than Luke Kennard.
Okay, fair. Listen, Jordan B, by the way, great South Park Randy Marsh reference. Sorry, Jordan, I didn't get you out in time, but blame Adam, not me.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have to go late, Josh, it's all on them.
It's an NFL recap show. You can kind of go as long as you want on that one.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. Fuck them. Anyway, Josh, what's coming up today? What else you have on the show or on the site?
My contenders videos are already out. You should go watch those. I'll have updates for later today. I am on Live Before Lock tonight from 6 to 7. So keep your eyes peeled to my Twitter, at Josh Engelman. You'll get my updates. Then I will go live. NFL contenders as well for Monday Night Football will be out probably within the next hour or so. I got to record those now. Ran out of time this morning. Too busy celebrating last night Liverpool's rout of Manchester United.
Oh, yes. I caught all of that.
You should have. It was amazing. Amazing.
Didn't even know they were playing. I was watching the Eagles get shit on by the Raiders and Jalen Hurts being the king of garbage time. NFL showdown slate. We already did the strategy show. Matt Gajewski and myself, check that out. We got so much stuff on the site. If you're looking for content for a certain sport or a certain game, even, we got you covered. Check it out. And remember, use the link in the description or in the chat. Get your free month of Awesomo when you sign up and deposit $10 at Yahoo. And use the promo code Curry to get 50% off your first week of Awesomo Plus. All right, Josh, we'll do this again sometime soon. Thanks to you guys for hanging out as always. Well up over 200 likes, 600K plus. I'll call it a success. We'll catch you back here for the next one. Peace.
Later.